Well, our family is kind of in the middle of the cycle of life in microcosm, and keenly aware of both the miracle and magic of life, but also its uncertainty. Jeannie's mom is quite literally nearing the end of her life. We don't know when. We pretty much know how, but it's at the end of one portion of the cycle of life. And on the other hand, we were told this week that Lindy, who was scheduled for every 2 weeks prenatal visits, needs to come back every week. So she's very nearly going to bring Lily into the world at the beginning of her life. And again, we don't know when exactly, and we pretty much know how. And we're in the middle of it, interestingly enough. And to that end, I think of this particular passage from the Psalms. The Psalms, of course, are a hymn book, and this particular psalm is a song of dismissal that was used by the Jerusalem Temple community as their closing hymn, a song for a prayer, really, for guidance and a safe passage on the way home. This is a psalm that was read at our wedding. It was a psalm that was read at my grandmother's funeral. It's a psalm, a passage from the scripture that speaks to, well, it speaks to life in microcosm and especially in times of transition. I lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will watch over your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. The Lord will watch over. Comforting thought. The Lord will watch over. Someone will watch over me. A couple of years ago, we had the occasion to hire a new faculty member in our department. And as the process took its course, the lead candidate that we really wanted to hire was a young woman who was just getting her doctorate from the University of Texas. And coming out of graduate school, she had more academic publications than I did when I got tenure 7 years into my career. She was a blue chip prospect in our leading number one draft choice. Well, for reasons that had nothing to do with her, and that could only be understood if you have any sense of the oddball politics of a university, we weren't able to hire her. And we hired somebody else, and she went, well, I don't know where she went. Until this week I found out. I was having a conversation with the professor at UT that happened to have been her major professor. And I said, you know, what happened to Amy, by the way? And he said, oh, it's an interesting story. You know, she didn't get the kind of job she applied for when she was applying at Texas Tech. She wound up doing a postdoctoral fellowship at the University of North Carolina, which told me immediately that if we had been able to hire her, she would have come, because a postdoctoral fellowship, nothing wrong with it, is not the same as the kind of job we were offering. Nonetheless, she did her postdoc at North Carolina, and I was told this week that she met her husband out there. And she only stayed a year, and together they moved, and she's teaching at Mississippi State now, and that happens to be very close to her hometown. Well, that seems like, at the end of the day, kind of a trade-up from Texas Tech in some ways, meeting a new husband, winding up close to home in a school that's a good school. Was God watching over her? Did God make that happen? It's an interesting question. We see this psalm, the Lord will watch over your going out and your coming in. And we're tempted to imagine that it's sort of like the Christmas song, you know, he sees you when you're sleeping, he knows when you're awake, which as a child frightened me badly, and even now seems kind of creepy in its own way. I think that the God who watches over our going out and our coming in, note the phrase, watch over, not manipulate. We don't have a micromanager for our lives. What we have is an architect for our world. And the watching over process is essentially little more than God creating this system and pushing the button and letting the system go as it was designed, not in the details, but in the process. John Guare is a playwright, and he wrote a rather well-known work called 6 Degrees of Separation. And the premise of the play is that if you take one individual and everybody that he or she knows, and another individual and everybody that he or she knows, and you take the people they know who know other people, and so on and so on, if you take 6 people and everybody they know who know others, who know others, who know others, all it takes is 6 degrees of separation for there to be a connection between every human being on the planet. It's an intriguing thought. I mean, 6 people and the people they know and the people they know, etc., etc., can connect the peasant woman who sells baskets at the border town in Mexico, connect her to Charles Philip Arthur George, the Prince of Wales. It's an intriguing idea that it only takes 6 degrees of separation to unite us all, which suggests that this complex world created by the God who watches over us, well, perhaps God uses those 6 degrees of separation of individuals in the process to be his eyes, watching over, caring for, and being of use. A sociologist actually took that idea and made something of the measurement of that. One of the most widely cited pieces of social research is an article that was first published in 1974 and rewritten in 1983 and subsequent iterations, called The Strength of Weak Ties. The Strength of Weak Ties. And in it, he suggested that all of us have 5, 10, 20 people in our lives with whom we have very close relationships, strong ties. And that's true for all of us. We exist kind of in a cluster of strong relationships. But so does everybody else. And in somebody else's cluster of strong relationships are people that are perhaps weakly tied to others. And it's these weak connections between people we know who know someone else that draws our whole society together. John Guare called it 6 degrees of separation. But when you think about how things tend to work, and Mark Granovetter actually quantified this, he put forward in this article, among other things, that something like 70 to 75% of all successful job acquisitions are in part related to a network, a weak tie that got connected somewhere along the line. Somebody knew somebody who knew somebody that helped make the connection, networking. I get a magazine from Purdue University every month, and in the back there's a list of people who are Purdue graduates that are looking for jobs, and this publication is sent to other Purdue graduates. The assumption is that somewhere there might be a weak tie of mutual connection to a university that we both respect, that if I happen to be in a position to be hiring someone, I may give one extra look or assume there's one extra benefit to hiring somebody that was educated where I was educated. I can make some assumptions about that, if you will. Jeannie's mom was in the hospital this week and being transferred from her room to a test or some such thing. And one of the people that was doing the transfer, one of the functionary employees at Beloit Hospital, looked at her and looked at the chart and said, did you ever teach French in school here? And of course her mom did, taught English and many other things, and said, I was one of your students a long time ago. Maybe I should speak to you in French. And Jeannie's mom said, don't give me a test. And that day was a little brighter because Edna cracked the joke, among other things. But that weak tie, many years back, I think made the journey to and from a little bit less treacherous, feeling a little bit more safe, that there was something more than just the functionary process here. There was a weak tie that added some strength. 8 years ago, I was having a conversation with a colleague, a casual conversation. He was leaving the building and I was coming in and we were talking about other things. And Lindy's name came up. She was at the time fairly recently graduated from college and was not quite sure what she was going to do next. She had a job that was meaningful in its own way, but not what she wanted to continue with, and that she was looking in terms of getting a graduate education in ecology. And my colleague said, well, you know, she ought to talk to so-and-so, one of his hunting buddies that was over in the ag school. And through another sequence of conversations, that weak tie led to her getting a phone call about a month and a half later, essentially saying, if you can get here next week, you can have a grad assistantship and I'll pay for your master's degree. Which brought her to Texas, where she met her husband. And Lillian Luann is almost here. We've seen her picture. She has a name. Now, that is not to say that if the woman from the University of Texas had come to Texas Tech, or if Lindy had done something different, or if that conversation had never occurred, that a sequence of decisions and weak ties wouldn't have connected it in some other way. But because of the weak tie between my colleague, his hunting buddy, and ultimately me and Lindy, Lillian Luann would not be. She would not exist. That's kind of how it's supposed to work. The details work themselves out. The strength is in the process. And I think it speaks to all of us when we're experiencing kind of the cycle of life in microcosm, or perhaps in moments of transition. When you think about it, if you're standing at a crossroads trying to figure out what to do next, you make the decision and move forward at the same time, excluding three other options that lead you toward, well, who knows what, with, again, the strength of weak ties. Had you chosen something else, a different path would have begun, and other ties would have picked the process through. But the larger point is this. Whatever the decision is, something will come of it. Some things we expect, some things we hope for, some things that surprise us, some things that horrify us. But always supported through 6 degrees of separation and through the strength of weak ties, always finding someone to watch over. Someone whose eyes become the eyes of the Lord who watches over our going out and our coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.